hunger. Well, I have to say, it is good to be back. It's been at least 6 weeks since I've preached in this space, and so as I said to 8 o'clock this morning, I apologize for what is about to come out of my mouth. There's a discipline that you get when you do this every week, and when you take a break, it goes off the rails, and then you get it back on. By the 9th of September, I'll try to be back in order. I am a big fan, as I've mentioned in this space before, of encouraging folks to, measure your religious consumption. That is to say, while it's great that we have a rhythm of some notion of showing up here every week and doing our prayers on a daily basis and keeping the tank full, I'm also a huge proponent of making certain that once in a while you go away, do not look back, and that you experience in the wilderness a real sense of hunger and thirst. That's my permission giving. I didn't do a lot of church during vacation. I used to feel guilty about that. I used to think that feeling of showing back up then that got me sort of back in good graces with the church was sort of a guilt motivation. And it was only a few years ago that I finally realized what is actually happening there is not guilt at all, but is hunger. Right? This is just a quick midsummer pulse check for the body in the midst of a 5-week series on bread that we also pay attention to hunger and thirst and longing and yearning, and that we get really close with that sense within us, that knot in our gut about what is it that is my greatest hope for the world, right? What is this experience of disconnect between my dreams and my reality? And come into touch with that, right? My mother was shocked years ago when I was asked in an application, I think, for a scholarship to list some of the folks who had been the most formative in my life, right? She was one of them. One of those people, my grandfather, I mentioned, you know, what did he do for me? I mentioned my grandfather taught me more than anything else what it meant to be a gentleman, to be a tender soul in the world. I mentioned that what my father taught me was the value of being a good student. And, much to my mother's chagrin, this was the mother who raised me and my siblings in a divorced household, single head of household, she was shocked to hear me list, with all good intentions, that the thing I learned most from my mother was how to do without. I meant so well. What I meant to say was that my experience of growing up in my household with my mother was that when I was looking around in my life for the signs of love and affection and provision, that did not mean that every hope, need, and want must be fulfilled for it to be true. What I was saying was that my mother could demonstrate love for me by increasing in me the capacity to do without, to develop in me the ability to hunger and to thirst, and to know what to do with that tension between yearning and longing and satisfaction and reward. There's a resilience that we develop in that, right? We developed that resilience in my household, that life wasn't all about envy and resentment, but that through that experience, that gap between hope and need and want and satisfaction was where we develop a sense of gratitude, right? Not envy and resentment, but gratitude. It is that place where we come to understand that sometimes those things we hunger for most, that it isn't just love and the fulfillment of it, but that it's the ability to desire those things that is in fact a sign of the love and affection in the household. And I take that as a gift, a huge gift, to not have had every fancy met. We are in the midst of a 5-week trajectory of bread talk. And I'll be honest, I think the reason we do 5 weeks of this isn't because they really want to pound the notion into our heads, it's because they know people are on vacation. So they figure you'll get one of the five. So I just want to name that as a reality. But I do want to say at the midpoint of that, week 3 right now, I simply want to hit a reset button on expectations. Right, that there's a theological reality to this notion of hopes, needs, and wants, and satisfaction and fulfillment. And that if we were to develop the notion that we only ever know that God is with us and for us and loving us is when our bellies are full and every need is met and every dream fulfilled, we will be deeply dissatisfied with life. We will be miserable people. Right? If the assumption is, well, I know God's for me because I'm full, right? What we would call the prosperity gospel in this country, it doesn't make room for the fullness of life, which, as any of us know, includes deep disappointment, real hurt, a real sense of longing for something more that we might not even know what it is, a yearning, a deep discontent with the way things are. And if we were to think that when things are the way they ought to be, then God is with us and for us, that's a tough lot. So this week, at week 3 of 5, I simply want to suggest that God is not simply the fulfillment of those dreams, God is not simply the bread that satisfies, but that God is also the giver of the hunger and of the thirst. God gives those things to us as a gift. God gives that need, that sense of hope and want, that sense of deep longing for a world that is the fulfillment of God's dream for us. God gives us the dissonance to keep us alive, to remind us hope is a good thing. Dissatisfaction is not the absence of God, but dissatisfaction is the presence of the Holy Spirit stirring in us. We come together as a community of faith to celebrate the victories. When we are full, when we are happy, we rejoice. And we give thanks to God for it. We also come together as a community of faith to hear from one another, to hear our hopes and our dreams, fulfilled and unfulfilled, to hear in the Word God's dream for us, those fulfilled and unfulfilled, and to sit together with that dissonance, with that churning, right, that holy discontent that is a sign not of God's failure, not of God's absence, but of the Holy Spirit's presence, right? That is a heavy load to bear. That's a heavy load to bear, to care enough to feel that disconnect between present reality and future hope. And we come together to remind ourselves, God is in it. God is in the food. God is in the fulfillment at the end of the journey. More importantly, so that thing that leans us into God's future, that hunger and that thirst, that may well be the surest sign of God's love for us. That may well be the surest sign, that may well be the surest sign that we are alive, that the Holy Spirit is dwelling with us, and that it is demanding something more of us, of this faith community, and of the world that we live in. So don't shy away from it. Lean into it. It is good. It is holy. It is blessed. It is beloved. Amen.